chapter 1. And it's not a real long chapter, so we'll be reading the whole thing. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go to the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for this reminder of Joshua's new beginning. That we know, Father, that our lives are filled with these. That it's not something that we should take lightly. Indeed, Lord, I think that as we look at changes and the fear that we have of changes, that we should be reminded and should remind ourselves that you are with us, that we can be strong and courageous. And so I just ask you then, Lord, that you help us as we go through your words here, to find that strength and to find that courage to face all of our fears. And we are grateful for your words, Lord, and we ask now then that you open up our hearts and our minds so that we can receive it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I talked to you earlier, or I guess like last Sunday, we were talking about, or I was talking about, I wanted to kind of, this January, go through new beginnings, these new starts, if you will, and these changes that are taking place. And so I'm going through Scripture, and I'm looking for these stories and these events that I can bring to you, and then hopefully then that you will compare your lives to, so that then you can find these things that God has for us in them. And certainly I think that as we look at Joshua here, the idea that he continues to mention, be strong and courageous. I mean, look how many times he actually reminds us of that. In verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, be strong and courageous. And then finally, at the end, it's repeated back by the people, the Transjordians, the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They repeat back, only be strong and courageous. So we have these reminders. I'm sorry, I'm fighting with this thing here. So we have these reminders. And we also have then the fulfillment of this message in there that he has for Joshua. Be strong and be courageous. And I think that this is good for all of us. You know, how many things have we faced in our lives where there are change? You know, there's something new and we have these fears about it that we don't know what to do. And so our fears sometimes drive even our decisions or even drive the motivations of our hearts or just to do nothing sometimes. And I think paralysis sometimes is certainly a major tool of fear. That we do nothing, that we just stand still and do nothing. And so I think that as we go through these new beginnings and as we look at the one that Joshua has here then, this strength, this courage, and then the understanding that there will be fears in there, I think all of those come together. And as we look at those, we have to try to give ourselves some definitions here as well. So what is strength? I think here that he's not necessarily talking about the might that would come from a man in battle. I don't think that he's talking about how many pounds you can lift or, you know, what kind of people that you can beat. He's not talking about it at all. He's talking about the strength that comes in God and the things that we can do in God. And so as he talks about the strength that we see in strength is a doing, is an action, is something that comes out of us, you know, because of what God has given us. So then we look at what causes that, and that's courage. So courage is the motivation. Courage is the thing that that we have in us that gives us the ability to act on these things, to do what God is telling us. And certainly as we look at Joshua here, the courage will come in to cross the Jordan. And so they have all these fears of what might come next. They have all these reports of what's over there. You know, it sounds dangerous to them. But he's telling the leader of the people of Israel to be strong and to be courageous. In other words, not only do it, but have it in your heart. And I think that as we look at what's in our hearts, certainly we find God there. And that God would give us the courage, the ability, the motivation to actually do it, and the capability to get it done. And certainly I think that we misunderstand what courageous can be sometimes. I think sometimes we look at it in the sense of bravado, you know, that that it's a matter of being not afraid. It's a matter of I fear nothing, I'm going to do this, certainly how strong I am, and I can puff myself up a little bit, you know, and I can be strong about these. I can't, but maybe you can. But I think that as, you know, we look at this courage, you know, see what it is, we certainly know what it's not. And courage isn't the understanding or the idea that there's no fear. I think there are many courageous men out there who have lived in our history and certainly live in our current time who would tell us and show us that they were afraid even while they were being courageous. So courage is not the absence of fears, but rather it's looking at the fears, understanding them, and then mastering them, controlling them, and conquering them even. But fear never goes away. It's something that we will always live with. And so we always must acknowledge it, that we have fear. Certain things frighten us. And I can tell you, I haven't had a life of a lot of adventure, but you know, there's been enough times in there, especially in the things that Laura Lee and I have done in our lives, that there was a fear of a loss of life, that we could be killed, that we could be hurt, or that indeed that we might have to hurt or kill someone else. And so in that moment that we both had fear. Neither one of us ever denied that. Fear was always with us. And honestly, I think that if someone says, well, I have courage and so I have no fear, I think you might want to look for a source somewhere else. Because I can't imagine someone facing something that requires courage and not having no fears. The problem is that sometimes we let fear overtake us. And when that fear overtakes us, it causes a lot of different results like paralysis. You know, you do nothing. And then you just kind of just stand there. Or it causes you to do things that are opposite of what God is calling you to do. And we'll see that here in Joshua. And that as we face these things, even in the fears, and that we continue to step out and go forward in God's plan. And certainly I think that in God's plan that we find ourselves as a very small part. If we look in here in our scriptures, it says, after the death of Moses. So Joshua now steps in for Moses. He's been anointed and appointed by God to lead the people across the Jordan and into the promised land. And so as we see this taking place, we can also understand that Joshua was really a small part of a larger plan by God. That God's plan of salvation is found here in his scriptures, the entire book, from the very beginning to the very end. And then as we look at where Joshua is, we see that he's in this small moment and this small time, although it represents a very large God. And I think that we find that in our own lives. You will face things and changes in your life. You will face things and changes in the life of our church. That as we face them, we must understand that we will have fears in them. But we also must understand that our courage comes and that we trust God. Our courage comes and our strength comes because we understand that God is in charge of this plan. That we are only a small part of it. I know sometimes we would like to be more than just a small part. We'd like to be famous in that, or we'd like to be well known in that. But I don't see that in Joshua. And I don't see that really in us or in Moses. In fact, Moses was, you know, very hard on himself, you know, that he said, I don't speak well. I don't know much. I'm a sinner. You know, he always brought up all of his faults, but God continued to use him as his servant and as a faithful servant in the end. And certainly then they became very close friends. And so I think that as we look at Joshua here and we see what God has assigned him to do and we see the small part that he's given him, we obviously come then to the beginning of this where God is addressing this to Joshua. And that Joshua then is being appointed in this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people that I'm giving to you, Joshua, you will carry them forward. You will lead them forward. But they've been through a lot. You know, many of them have been killed by God. You know, they've met their deaths at the wrath of God. And as God purified them in some way, you know, that he brought them closer to him, that now then he hands this over to Joshua. This is no light responsibility. This is a heavy burden. And that as Joshua accepts it, you can imagine then that even just accepting it would cause him some fears. Now, he didn't come out of nowhere. He's been with Moses all along. And as he's with Moses through the time in the desert, then that he is learning from Moses. So he's a part of something that's bigger even then. But yet we don't really see his role until this moment that Moses has died. And now Joshua steps forward and God calls him forward and he steps forward. So in God's plan then, we have this foundation that he's building through his people, through all these things. If you look in verse 6, verse 5, let's go back to verse 5. He says, no one will be able to stand against you. This is God talking. So you can imagine in your next decision or the next thing that you face that might be frightening, that you can imagine then that if God is with you, he says, so I will be with you. I was with Moses. I will be with you. Imagine what kind of encouragement that should give you. If God is with you, no matter how big or how small the event that you face, then this should give you encouragement. This should give you confidence that God is working this and not you. And so then as God is working this, he says, so I will be with you as I was with Moses. That is the promise that God makes to his believers, to those who follow him, to those who live their lives in him. I will be with you and you will be with me. And so as God is with you, then the promise is no less for Moses than it was for Joshua. And it's no less for Joshua than it is for us. And so as God then declares that he makes his promise to be with him, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. This is God's plan. God said, this is my plan and I called you to it. I want you to be strong and courageous in this because I called you to it. Because God has called Joshua to this, and God has called you to it, then he also then implies this for us. Be strong and courageous. Move forward in your faith. Move forward in what God has given you. Move forward in the plan that God has, the foundation that he is building. And certainly, as we see later then in the New Testament, that Christ comes. that this foundation continues, and this foundation is there and has been there all along as God has ordained it, as God has planned it. We find that all the way into the book of Revelation, that this same plan has taken place, that it is God's plan. It's not our plan. And it's not our foundation. It's God's foundation. We only build on what God gives us. And so God says then that because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. In other words, God continuously works to keep His promise. And He has made us many promises through Jesus Christ. He has kept many promises to the people of Israel. Some of them are yet to be fulfilled, but they will be fulfilled. And now as we live in Christ, we see that He has made many more promises to us that He will fulfill. And one of those is eternal life. And so we have this moment that we're looking for, this time that we're looking for. And He says, until then, be strong and be courageous. So I like in verse 7 then when He says, okay, so be strong and very courageous. So don't just be courageous, but be very courageous. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at that and it says very courageous, that's more than courageous. Okay, so when you're courageous, so you're tall, right? That's tall, but then you're very tall. Okay, that's even taller, right? That makes sense, I hope. You know, so He says, be courageous, but be very courageous. Be very bold in these things. Let your heart be filled understanding that I am with you. And then you will act in strength. So be strong. Certainly act in this way, but be very courageous. Know that I am with you. Know that I am the one who fills your heart with all of this strength and all of this faithfulness and obedience and all these things that I give you. And notice that He says then, be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses was given. Okay, so there's a contract here. There's something going on where God has done something and God has given something and we're expected to obey it. And those things that He has given through His law are His instructions, are His commandments, and all the things that He's directed us to do. That He has not only given us guidance, but He has helped us to understand what we're not supposed to do. And so as we want to be pleasing to God, and that's what keeps us in His strength and in His courage, that then we understand that our faithfulness is tied to this. That our faithfulness is tied to being obedient to God. And what do we be obedient to? His laws, His commandments. And certainly in verse 8, you can see there, He says, well, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And I do want to make a side note here on that, is that it does indicate to us that God feels that there's a certain reason that we receive His laws and His commandments and His instructions and His teachings in writing. That He places them down in writing so that we can refer to them. So the New Testament is nothing new. You know that they're writing letters and they're writing the Gospels, they're writing the Revelation, all these things that are taking place. These are all the expectations of God. God has always given them to us. Okay, so that's a side note. But He tells him, He says, this is where you'll find it. You'll find it in the book of the laws. He says, so always have it on your lips. Keep it on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Make it your life. And loved ones, I can't emphasize this more than what He is doing here. But I certainly can plead with you. And my plea to you is that you make it your life. And the reason is that I think that it protects us. It keeps us grounded in this foundation of what God's plan is. It keeps us grounded in the courage and the strength to move on. And to continue to move on, no matter what's happening around us. Now remember, there's a lot of things that are about to happen to them. There's a lot of things that will cause them problems in their life that certainly will cause them a lot of adversity. And as they face these things, they have to have the courage and the strength to stand firm in their faith. This is where we lose it. We lose it in surrendering our faith, that we listen to what the world has to say, that we listen to the things that the world tells us the way things should be. And after a while, we get tired or we become frightened and we think that, well, maybe God doesn't really necessarily want me to do that, you know, so I will bend or I will give in to that. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to be curmudgeons about it either. We don't have to be grumpy about this. We don't have, I almost said grumpy old men. We don't have to be, you know, ornery about it or angry about it. We just have to look at it in our own lives as having the strength and the courage to maintain our faith, to stand firm in our faith, and to look at the things that God has given us so that we will. So in verse 9, He says, have I not commanded you? Now look at that. Have I not commanded you? Didn't I tell you? He says, He's saying, I didn't ask you. I commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Now, I think that those are connected. I think that when he says, have I not commanded you? Certainly, one side of the argument could be, well, isn't he's the one who's in charge, sort of thing. Well, that's true. That is true. But when he says, be strong and courageous, I think that connects. And I think when those connects, he has given us this commandment to be strong and courageous. Because he has given you faith. He's given you the ability to grow in your faith. He's given you the ability to know what is pleasing to him and what is not pleasing to him. That he gives you strength. And he gives you courage because he is your strength and your courage. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Not in some places, but not in others. But wherever you go. That God will always be with you. And if God is always with you, who can be against you? And I think that as we look at what Joshua is getting from God here, it's the same thing that we receive in our faith. Certainly, God at one time will be with us in Emmanuel, that he will come in Jesus Christ. We have just gone through that moment. And that as we go through that remembrance of Jesus Christ who came into the world, who God came into the world as man, who came into the world as his own son, who came into the world as Savior, that it was God who was doing it. And that if God is with us, then certainly no one can be against us. And we think right away, well, they're winning out there. They're telling us we have to close churches. They're telling us that, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, worry about churches. The people who are in our own ranks are telling us you don't need church. They're telling us you don't need these things of God. That you can do that on your own. That you can be out in the woods somewhere, and that can be your church because it's you and God. But certainly God has never meant it that way. He didn't mean it that way for Joshua. He didn't mean it that way for us. That he expected Joshua to lead his people. And in the same way, he expects people, other people now in our time, after the cross, to lead other people. And so that God is with us, so that we would continue in this process, this plan that he has given us, that we would continue to act and to live as God is with us. And it's not so much that we have a false image, but it's whether you believe it or not. Loved ones, do you believe? Do you believe that God is with you? If you believe that, then the question really becomes, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Do not be afraid, he says. Do not be discouraged. Are you both today? Are you both discouraged and afraid? And I guess I hope that I'm not just speaking for myself. Because I know that many mornings, that many times, that I am discouraged and I am afraid. But all we need do is to look to the source, the foundation of our strength and our courage, so that we can be lifted back up. You see, when these times come, and again, like I said, fear comes. It's a natural thing to be in who we are, being people. If you're a person, you become afraid sometimes. Somebody who denies that or says, I'm never afraid, well, they're either lying or they're hiding it. But as we look at who we truly are and we realize that sometimes we do become afraid, God is telling us, do not be afraid. Because I am your courage, and I am your strength. You do not have to rely on your own. That God then will be the one who walks us not only to these moments, but through these moments. And certainly we know that in Jesus Christ, that he certainly faced a lot of adversity in the world. That he certainly continued to help people through the storm. That he continued to lift people up and remind them that your leprosy is only temporary. Christ is forever. So in verse 10, he says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people. Okay, so now Joshua gets this message from God that he has been given this courage and he's been given this strength. And that as Joshua then has been given this from God, then he turns to his people. And now he gives them an order. He tells them, this is what you do. So let's look at this in the context of what we're talking about, strength and courage. So now Joshua has this motivation. It's not his courage. It's not his strength. It belongs to God. God has given it to him. God says, I'm standing right here with you. And so Joshua then orders the people. He goes into action. He doesn't wait. He doesn't say, well, we don't have enough. We don't. Matter of fact, if you look at the timeline he's given, they're given 3 days to pack it up and move. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions. And he says, so you got 3 days. Pack them up. And move them out. And so in these 3 days then, that Joshua, you would think that he could come up with a lot of excuses why they can't. And that one thing that would be driving it all would be his fear. What if they don't listen to me? What if I tell them to do something and they do something else? What if they tell me, well, who are you to be in charge? Who do you think you are, Joshua, that you can tell us? What if they doubt me? What if they don't think that I'm doing the right thing? I'll be discouraged. I'll be frightened. I don't know that I can do it every morning. I don't know that I can do it with every person. But Joshua steps forward and he acts. And notice he doesn't act alone. He orders the officers, the officials, those who represent the people, that he gives it to them and they give it to the others. So Joshua is not doing it alone. Notice what we have here is a church. It's a fellowship of believers. It's a community of believers. It's people who are together because God has called them together. That God has given them their identity. That God has given them His will. That they know how to live and they know what to do. They live in a desert. They live in a world that's not very hospitable to them. But God says, I'm going to make it yours. Now, this isn't their success. Their success isn't how much they can accomplish. But rather, as they go into this world led by Joshua, led by officers, and there are others there as well. But as they are led by people who are of God, they are going to cross this Jordan and take possession of the land that the Lord their God is going to give them. They are going to receive this by God's hand, not by their own. They're not going to do it their way. It's going to be done God's way. And we know, because we have the rest of the book, that any time that they take it into their hands and they try to do it their way, that it becomes very bad for them. It becomes very difficult, and the adversities are, well, it even takes into the moment where it takes their lives. And so as they look at these things of adversity and they face this moment that they're being called forward, and Joshua, he just takes it, he takes it by the horns, you know. He takes the bull by the horns. He says, let's do it. Let's get it done. We got 3 days. Let's go. And as he calls them out to do that, and they start to respond or they start to do the things that he said, you know, their reminder is that God has a promise that he has made to you and he will keep it. And now you are a part of that. You see, we have a promise as well. We have been promised salvation in eternity. And this is what we act upon. Because this is the promise that God has made us. This is what lives in our hearts. Salvation. You have been saved to be His. You have been saved to always be His. This is your hope. This is your encouragement. This is your strength and your courage, even when you are afraid. That as you face these things, that as you look, what am I going to do right now? You look to God for His strength and His courage. And I think that sometimes we would follow God better if we knew what He was going to do. If He would tell us, okay, so God, when we get in this promised land, how hard will these people fight to keep it? How many people do we have to kill? And is there a chance that I could get killed? You know, we look at that in the same way in our lives. Well, if I knew for sure that this is how it was going to happen, then I wouldn't be afraid. So God, tell me how exactly this is going to happen. But we get nothing back. So, well, God, if I choose to live in this house as opposed to that house, will the people there treat me nice as opposed to the other people? Or am I moving into something I really don't want to have to deal with? You know, so I don't know what to do, God. I'm afraid. What's the right decision here? And God says nothing. But I think that what God has given Joshua is what He has given all of us. Faith. The wisdom to trust Him. The wisdom to understand that what He has planned for you, no matter how it comes out, is for good. The ability to understand that as God walks us through that, He walks us through that. That He will be with us. God will never call you to sin. But you may give in to sin, no matter what path God puts you on. But as we look at who we are and what we are in God, and especially we look at who He is and what He is in our lives, then we're able to muster up the courage and the ability to act on the things that we're supposed to do. Now, this applies to you personally and to your lives and the things that you decide in your lives. And it applies to us as a church. That as we look at all these things and see the connections and certainly the resemblances that we have of the people of Israel as they get ready to cross the Jordan, that's what we're doing too. We're getting ready to cross the Jordan. We're preparing. Now, we've been given a little bit more than 3 days. But what we must always remember, if we're faithful and we're believers and we're obedient to God, He is walking with us. He is walking with us right now. And I know you think maybe sometimes, well, it doesn't seem like it. Where's all the possessions? Where's all the things that He would give us and all the things that He would make us? Where's all that at? Well, it's in God's time. It's in God's plan. We have to call ourselves then to be strong and courageous, to be patient in God. Now, Joshua gets his first test. He gets his first test in verse 12. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, okay, these are the Transjordan tribes. And what happened is that Moses, by God's command and by God's order, he gave them land that was east of the river, which was where they were. He gave them land right there because it was good for their livestock. And then he let them. He said, you can live there. That's yours. I've given you this as your possession. So for all intents and purposes, they have fulfilled what they had said they would do. They made it to the east of the river. And now they're living there and they're living fruitfully. They're doing, and God has given them what He has promised them. And as they now they live there, they get ready to cross over the river to go to the west. And Joshua knows, but we need their soldiers. We need their men to fight with us. Our numbers will be less without them, and our chances will be better if they are with us. So this is his first test. He comes to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he offers them this motivation. The God that gave you what you have now, and now you no longer will come over here and get anything. You're going to stay where you're at. You're not required to come with us. That same God has placed you in a position where you're part of us. That even though Moses has already given you this, that you now have your rest, He has also given you the responsibility to help the rest of us until we have our rest. In other words, till we come to a stop in where You called us to be. So He comes into them and He brings them leadership. He brings them motivation. He says to them, this is what we're supposed to do. He's not trying to deny anything. He's not trying to manipulate anything. He's just doing what needs to be done. And He goes to them and He's telling them, we need you. We need your fighting men. Your wives, your children, your livestock, they can all stay here. But we need the fighting men to get this done. And so what we find in this is that their commitment to God is not over. You see, it should have been. In our minds, it would have been. They got the promised land. They should be done. They got what they wanted. What more do they have to do? We see the commitment to God never ends. There's no retirement for Christians. We follow Jesus until we die. And that's it. That's the commitment. How long do we have to do this for? Until you die. Because then you get all the rest of your answers. But in that commitment then, as they give themselves to it, Joshua was reminding them, your commitment's not done. The truth is that you still owe it to God to help these people in. And so He calls them up. Now this is their answer. This is their response in verse 16. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. They're fully committed to it. They know that this has been their commitment. They know that this is what they were supposed to do in the first place, to be faithful. They're not required to be builders. They're not required to do anything else. They're just required to do what God has called them to do. In this case, it is to fight for those who are going across the river. So they build up their strength and their encouragement, or their courage. And in this, we find commitment. You see, what God gives us is courage and the strength this confidence in our faith, this abilities that we have and the capabilities that we have, that God gives all of this to us. All of this comes to us in His plan. It all comes because of a commitment. It all comes because what they have committed to God and what God has committed to them. And it's not what Joshua has committed to them or what they have committed to Joshua. You see, Joshua does the one thing that all godly leaders and all godly people should do. They remove themselves from the equation. But this is what God has called us to do. And even in our times now, as we struggle through, as we have to deal with this chaos and this darkness that we live in, that as we work to try to be strong and courageous in our faith, and in our faith, not in attendance, not in how much property you have, not in what the ability that people look to you and they say, well, you're awesome and you're great, but rather that we stand in a commitment to our God, and that He is great in our sight, and that we dedicate ourselves to Him. This is why He brings us to adversity. This is why He brings us to these moments, so that we can glorify His name. You see, I think sometimes we are afraid right now because we think about what we were. And we think, wasn't that wonderful? Shouldn't we just continue to be that? But tell you the truth, I don't remember giving it up. I do remember somebody taking it away. But I don't remember ever giving it up. That God brought us to change. That God brought us to adversity. And He expects it to be better on the other side of the river. And He expects it to be better on the other side of eternity. That when He calls us out on these things, He expects us to look to Him for strength and courage, no matter our circumstances. And He calls us to that because we have a commitment with Him. You see, our desire to grow the church, our desire to be more than what we are today, tomorrow, it's not because of your pastor, and it's not because of your elders. It's not because of the people who are sitting next to you or are not sitting next to you. It's because of your commitment to God, the very source and the foundation of real strength and courage, of true strength and courage, that you must look to Him and look to Him alone. Now notice in this closing that as they commit to Joshua, okay, say, we're going to do this. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so it didn't matter who the leader is. But this is what they're praying for Joshua. That the Lord be with you as He was with Moses. In other words, so that we see your faith. And that they pray for him. And they say, only be strong and courageous. Now, I didn't mean to leave out the beginning of verse 18. Because I don't intend to kill any of our rebels. But he says, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. So in other words, Joshua, we believe that your word is coming from God. We believe that your strength and your courage comes from God. We believe that your leadership comes from God. And we will follow your orders, but we are committed to God to be strong and courageous. And we pray that for you. I pray that for you, loved ones. Be strong. Be courageous. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for all that you are. In all of my heart and all of my being, Lord, I know that you are far above anything that we can even imagine. That even now, even as I call upon you and stand up in your presence, I'm humbled. I'm reminded of what I'm not. And I'm certainly not worthy of your work in my life, but yet here you are. That so many times, Lord, I was afraid that I did not want to cross over that river, that I did not want to see what was on the other side, that indeed I trusted myself more than I trusted you, that even as you called me to these things, these decisions, these moments, that I thought, Lord, that if you would just tell me, if you would just tell me what would happen. But I know, Lord, that wasn't living in the promise. I know that wasn't living in the promise that you've given to be with me. And that whatever you had in store for me would be by your will and for my good. So I ask that you be with us now, Lord. I ask that in these new beginnings, that you help us not to worry about programs. That you help us not to worry about parking and the things of our service, the chairs or whatever else we may have that we're worried about. Or even how many people are here or not. I just pray, Lord, that you give us the strength and the courage to face all of these things and our commitment to you and your commitment to us. For we are indeed reminded through Joshua that we are your people and you, the creator of all things, the master of the universe, the one who speaks over life and death. You, Lord, are our God. Amen.